In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each year when John the Baptist arrives on the scene, either in Advent as it is this year or later in Epiphany as it is in some other years, I get a little uncomfortable. Perhaps you do too. John is a character. He comes across as untamed, sort of a rebellious sort. I have a pretty clear image in my mind of what John must look like. It's hard not to. Matthew describes his appearance by talking about his clothing, his camel hair with a leather belt around the waist, which is the clothing that's pretty typical of a prophet. He also describes John's diet of locusts and wild honey. Today, we hear that he has appeared in the wilderness as though out of nowhere. John has just materialized in the wilderness. In Matthew's gospel, John has no history. We don't hear about Elizabeth in this telling of the story. He just is on the scene, and the scene is the wilderness. So to me, John looks a lot like Hagrid in the Harry Potter movies, or a larger version of Andrew, our previous youth minister. Someone with wild hair and piercing eyes. I imagine that John the Baptist is piercing in every way. He has no problem speaking his mind and does not shy away from the truth, even if he knows that the truth will not make him popular, even if he knows that the truth will cost him his life, which it eventually does. So today we are met face to face with this wild, piercing truth teller. And while we might prefer to tune him out, we can't. He's in our faces, telling us to repent, to turn around, to make a U-turn that will return us to God. That's fine. We know this is the time to be thinking about turning around, getting ready for the birth of Christ's child once again. We know that we should take time to ponder, like Mary did, what the birth of God in human form means for us and for our world. John could have just said that. Get ready. Think about what God is doing and what it means to you. Act like God matters to you. Don't be lazy in your faith. That would have been fine. But John, being the locust-eating wilderness man, comes at his audience with a fiery tongue. He says, actually, I think he yells, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He could have said, "Hey guys, I really appreciate your coming out to the wilderness to be baptized and talk about living life differently. Let's have some honey and talk about how you might want to take your faith a little bit more responsibly and seriously. You know, really walk the walk." That would have gone over so much better, much more smoothly, with those gathered on the banks of the Jordan that day. But John in the wilderness had no interest in placating or smoothing over the rough edges of what he had to say. The time was at hand. Jesus would soon be in their midst. Their repentance was so important to John that he had to tell them with words so harsh that they would actually hear. Sometimes we need to be jolted out of complacency. Sometimes we need to come face to face with hard truths, truths we really don't want to come face to face with. Sometimes we need to struggle with our faith and our lives and how our faith impacts and informs our lives. John does not let us off the hook any more than he does the Pharisees and Sadducees. But his venomous language is not directed at all who come to the place of the wilderness. Only those who are not genuine, who are overly smug and make a show of being faithful followers. Jesus will later refer to these same folks as whitewashed walls and even hypocrites. Those who've come to the wilderness with true faith and hearty repentance, as we say in Absolution and Rite 1, are not those to whom John issues his strong words of warning. Those who meet John in the wilderness that are genuinely seeking are given just what they come for: baptism is a sign of their intention to lead a new life. John, like Jesus, never seeks perfection, nor is that in any way expected. What is expected is genuine seekers, folks trying to find their way in life with faith. The world that God came into was not perfect, and the people that God chose to use were not perfect. The wilderness in which John appeared was not perfect. The wilderness is a scary place where faith is tested and sanity tried. And John is there calling people to join him in that scary place where faith is tested and sanity tried. At some time or another, most of us will find ourselves in that wilderness place. Many questions arise in the wilderness. And while our time in the wilderness may feel very lonely and uncertain, wilderness times can be times of great growth. Wilderness experiences can force us to really question who we are and what matters in our lives. Wilderness times can help us gain new insight about ourselves and about God, who so often remains silent while we grope and search for God's presence. And isn't that just the right image for Advent, our time of waiting and expecting? The image of us groping and searching for God, stretching ourselves to find the one and only thing that will bring meaning to life and order out of chaos. In the midst of this time of urgency in the world, there is a voice in the wilderness calling to us, a voice that still calls to us and urges us to turn and to come. Come to the wilderness, to the edge of the river. Come and take stock of your life and your faith. Are we able to step into that dangerous and scary place? To come face to face with those demons that haunt each one of us? Are we genuinely able to seek the one who constantly seeks us? Is that too much to ask? Or can we take the risk to find and be found by God? Perfect people need not seek. Perfect people have everything they're looking for right within themselves. God was not born into a perfect world filled with perfect people. God did not create a perfect world filled with perfect people. God created us. Each and every one of us, and loves us, and still seeks after us. God was born into the world in a time when there was much upheaval, into a place that was very unsettled, as an infant living under the occupation of a foreign government. God does not come in to a perfect world. God does not seek perfection. God seeks us. Will we be seeking him when he returns?